إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly the way He deserves to be praised. And we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His blessings and His salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon his companions and his wives and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the Day of Judgment. Brothers in faith, there are two types of people. Fundamentally speaking, in regards to our daily lives, our existence in this universe, there are two types of people. Those who properly understand Tawheed, and those who are either deficient in their understanding of Tawheed or have zero, they lack the understanding of Tawheed. And based on these two differences, or based on this fundamental difference, their ideology differs, their behavior differs, their expressions differ, their reactions to things differ, their tolerance differ. Everything is at opposite ends, to the point that it is somewhat amazing how two human beings can be exactly the opposite in terms of how they deal with things, and the differentiating factor is their understanding or their lack of understanding of Tawheed. And of course, I'm hinting at something. There could be many things which we can discuss in this particular context as a concept, be it related to our work, our jobs, our relationships. But contextually speaking, let us connect it to something that we have been going through here in Jeddah and other places in the kingdom as well, in other countries, which is the storm, winds, storms, anything of this nature, particularly winds. You will find some people understand, have an understanding of this, so they connect everything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This leads them to say certain things, do certain things, protect themselves in a certain way, and others are completely heedless. They think about Mother Nature, quote unquote, no such thing. Or they disconnect those from the one who created them. And they say things which are Islamically not allowed to be said. Some of which are to the level of apostasy. Someone can say an expression that necessitates major disbelief by detaching the creation of Allah from the Creator. So when it comes to the wind, there are many things which we have to take into consideration. And a lot of teachings in Islam, from the Quran and the Sunnah, that have to do with winds and storms. First and foremost, that in the Quran, the word rih can either come in singular or plural. It's either rih or riyah. And any time the word rih comes is in the Quran in the singular form, it is speaking about punishment. And anytime it comes in the plural form, riyah, it is speaking about mercy. There's mercy related to it. Many people are unaware of that basic fact. The second thing to take into consideration is that it is one of the miracles and the signs of Allah. Among the ayat, when Allah mentions his ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, and then he says, وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ. Then he said, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ أَوْ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. In that, among other things, are signs for people who understand. So it's actually a miracle from the miracles of Allah. Because it's something that you can't see. If there's no sand associated with it, you can't really see the wind. But the damage that it might inflict on people is unbelievable. And if mankind came together trying to change the direction of the wind or stop it from whatever Allah had decreed and commanded it to do, they will not be able to do so. Because the strength of the wind determines what we can and cannot do regarding it. And we are all sitting at home helpless. You see the sand everywhere in your house. You technically can't control it. You go outside, you can't control it. We are vulnerable. And this is only one of the junood, one of the soldiers of Allah. It's an ayah from the ayat of Allah. It's a sign from the signs of Allah. And it's a creation from the creations of Allah. And we also learn that it could be a source of mercy. That Allah sends winds forth before He sends down rain. As it comes in Surah Al-Furqan. That Allah Azza wa Jal sends the winds, bushram bayna yaday rahmatih, bringing glad tidings for the mercy that will come from Allah. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. Then we send down from the skies water that is purifying. So it's an indication of a mercy which comes from Allah. But also it could be a sign of destruction. In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal used it to destroy many nations before. When Allah mentioned Ad, إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمِ الرِّيحَ الْعَقِيمِ. We send upon them the barren wind. The scholars say Allah described it as barren, because barren is that which brings about no benefit, because it brought absolutely no benefit. It didn't help in the vegetation, it didn't help in sending rain, it was mere destruction. Allah sends it to destroy certain people. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Aisha noted, whenever there would be wind, his facial expressions would change. And she would tell him, O Messenger of Allah, people when they see the wind, they become happy that it could be a source of rain. He told her, yes, and it could also be the punishment of Allah. Many people before us, they saw the ghuyum, they said, هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. This is going to be a source of rain. And Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them with it. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would fear for the ummah that there could be something coming to us. So it would have an effect on his behavior, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming to Medina, and then there was a huge sandstorm that almost buried the people alive. It was so much that the traveler would be immersed in sand. He couldn't see, he couldn't even move forward. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is a wind which Allah has sent to destroy a hypocrite. And when he arrived in Medina, they found out that among the biggest of the hypocrites had passed away. So it could be for a particular reason, a particular person, a particular nation, that Allah Azza wa Jal will send it. So we have to be worried. Fourthly, when we understand that the wind does not act independently, just like the rain doesn't act independently, or the sun or the moon, none of these act independently. We have to be careful about our choice of words. We are not allowed to verbally abuse to curse or to speak ill of the wind or the weather, because they don't act on their own. So when you criticize the product, you're criticizing the creator of the product. You're criticizing Allah, and this is something we all fall into, willingly and unwillingly, intentionally and unintentionally. But iman is that thing, that element that is alive in us, that reminds us that we should be very particular with our words. Be careful what to say and what not to say. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tasubbu ar-rih." Do not curse the wind. إِذَا رَأَيْتُم مَّا تَكْرَهُونَ. If you see something from the wind which you dislike, then say, "Allahumma, inna nas'aluka min khayri hadhihi ar-rih wa khayri ma fiha wa khayri ma umirat bih wa na'udhu bika min sharri hadhihi ar-rih wa sharri ma fiha wa sharri ma umirat bih." Look at this profound narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and pay attention to the choice of words. If you see that which you dislike from it, then say, "Oh Allah, we ask you from the goodness of this wind and the goodness which is within it and the goodness in which it was commanded." Because it is the wind is commanded by Allah. Ma umirat bih, the command came from Allah, it executed. And we seek refuge with you from its evil, or the evil it contains, or the evil of that which it was commanded with. Meaning Allah might command it to destroy people. We seek refuge with Allah from being among those who are destroyed. This is the behavior of the believer. And the scholars, by the way, say the same applies to heat or cold. When we start criticizing too hot and too cold, again, we have to be mindful of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are delicate terms that we often say without, just casually, without thinking about their ramifications. But the Sahaba used to be very careful, to the point that they would say, if some people went out on a boat trip, they went out on a boat trip and there was good wind, and the sailor managed the boat properly, and they just praised the two and didn't praise Allah, that they committed an act of minor shirk. Because they're attributing the goodness to human beings and the wind as if they happen without Allah's tawfiq. It is Allah who sent the wind for the boat to move. And it is Allah who gave the tawfiq for the sailor to make it happen, to manage the boat. If Allah willed, He would have drowned everybody. So people don't even put Allah in the equation anymore. They attribute now the goodness to different creation, and they forget the Creator. And this is a fact. This is a fact, my brothers in faith. What should come to mind is Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy. And when it's something that is negative, then we should fear Allah's punishment. This is the belief system that differentiates you, O Muslim, from the rest of mankind. This is what keeps you firm and solid in these days of tribulations and turmoil. This is what keeps your head straight when you see people going all over the place. We don't even know what's going on in the world anymore. You'll be like a feather in the wind without your iman, without your tawheed. And with tawheed, Allah Azza wa Jal, as He said, يُثَبِّتُ. He will keep firm those people. بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. In this worldly life and in the life to come. You will manage now, and you will manage when the angels of death take you. When the angel of death takes you. Without tawheed, you're confused now, and we will be more confused later. In the second part of the khutbah, we will discuss some other etiquettes regarding the wind. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Brothers in faith, as you may know, and just as a reminder, إخوان, I know this has been repeated from this minbar many times, but there's no harm in repeating the reminder. My brother, drinking water during the khutbah nullifies your ajr. Your reward is gone out the window. You cannot drink water during an act of worship. This is an act of worship. Because we're not engaged in salah, the obligation is that I deliver and you listen attentively. Even if I'm speaking Korean, you listen attentively to the khatib. You can play with your fingers, you can play with the carpet, you can play with the rug, and obviously you can't drink water. Me, for example, drinking water while the muezzin is given adhan does not fall into the khutbah now. Meaning if the muezzin is calling the adhan, we have not started the khutbah yet. The sahaba used to continue speaking with each other until the khatib until the muezzin will finish and the khatib will commence. As soon as the khatib commences the khutbah, no one moved. They wouldn't even, if someone said salam, they would not return the salam. If he saw his brother busy with something, he's not allowed to tell him, to speak to him, say, shh, be quiet. Not allowed to do it. If you say this to your brother, your khutbah and the reward go out the window. The only thing you will get is that you don't have to repeat dhuhr and pray 4 rak'at. You still get the privilege of praying with the imam 2 rak'at. But you go home with no reward for Jumu'ah. And this is not from my bag. This is from the explicit hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever plays with the pebbles, because back then they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have bottles of water, so the thing which would distract them would be pebbles under them. And so someone would naturally be playing with the pebbles while he's listening to the khatib. He said, alayhi salam, whoever plays with the pebbles, he has committed an act of an idle act that takes away la jum'ata lah. No Friday for him. Subhanallah. This is why it is our obligation to know this and teach it to our children. We bring the kids. That's beautiful. Let them get used to coming to the masjid. But he comes and he plays around with the bar the whole time, making sounds with the... You're distracting the people, the khatib and the audience and everybody. No, we educate this young man about the etiquettes of coming to the masjid. The same applies for salah. So let's work with each other. It's 25 minutes, 30 minutes max of patience. Fi sabilillah. Relax, listen, finish up, and then go home and enjoy yourself. Move as much as you want. Until then, we're very restricted during Jumu'ah. Back to the topic. There are etiquettes, and there are ad'iyah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding everything. I would say, sadly, most of us don't know them. Most of us have not memorized a line and a half in the Arabic language of the hadith that has to do with the rih. We don't know. Maybe someone will send it to you on WhatsApp and you will read it once and khalas, you feel that you've done your job. The next day when there's more wind, you don't have it anymore. And if you've deleted the conversation, then you can't get back to it. And most of us are too lazy now to research, because it takes a lot of time to research a subject matter that is Islamic. But if it's anything that is mundane and unimportant, oh, we'll spend half an hour on Google trying to find out. But if it's something that will help us in our deen, maybe not that important. So we're passive. We're passive about these natural occurrences, when we actually have teachings from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding that. And how beautiful is it for a believer, 1400 years after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to revive words that he spoke. How beautiful is that? How special does that make you before Allah azza wa jal? That you're among those human beings who are following the footsteps of the best man to walk on this earth. And how heedless are we to miss out on the easiest deeds, the easiest to attain, by being heedless for months, years, ya Sheikh, 20, 30 years on this earth, and we go to the grave and we still haven't learned them. We have not learned them. We know maybe 10%. 10% of the ad'iyah pertaining to the various natural occurrences that Allah Azza wa Jal had decreed in this world. There's something for everything, believe it or not. There's a dua for the rain, and dua for seeing a crescent, and dua for the moon, and dua for going to an area, going on a picnic, and you're going to be in an area where you or your children might get harmed. There's a dua from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which by Allah's will protect you as long as you're there. And the list goes on of ad'iyah, which we don't learn. I beg you, for the sake of Allah, invest into your own good. Each one of us, there's a lot of room for improvement. We don't have to improve only in our salaries. Let's improve in our relationship with Allah as well. Learn these ad'iyah. I mentioned one before, I'm sure you haven't memorized it. I said many times before, there's a very convenient book called The Fortress of the Muslim, or The Muslim Fortress, or Husn al-Muslim. It's available on every platform, every operating system. You can buy it from any bookstore. $2, ya Sheikh, $2. It comes in every language you can imagine. Go through it and learn. There's more than one dua pertaining to the wind. I only mentioned one. There's more than one dua. At least when there's something, you say it, you feel at ease that you've done one part of our obligation. The other part of the obligation which the scholars highlight is that we should, whenever we see these natural occurrences which bring fear to us, we should all repent to Allah. This is an invitation and a reminder for all of us to return to Allah. Because human beings are such, when we are in a good state, we are forgetful of Allah. And once bad things happen, then you become mindful of Allah. We all know this. We'll continue to do the sin until something happens, then we say, this is a sign, I'm going to repent. That's how we work. And subhanAllah, this is how we are. But it is sad that we know how we are, and then we still reach that point and we don't change. Let us at least be smart. When we see these things happening, then this is an invitation to think about the last day, to think about the life to come, to think about the day of judgment, how everything will change, and we will be in no control of anything. Nothing. We are already in no control of anything. And this is nothing compared to the life to come. Where you can't even, you won't even speak, you won't even, you will run away from your father, from your mother, from your spouse, from your siblings, from your children. Everybody will say, I have nothing to do with anybody, I just want to save myself. Today, it is not like that. But these are signs for us and reminders. So let us not be among the heedless. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub, اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله